The Shoemaker and the Devil, 1888.
It was Christmas Eve. Maria had long been snoring on the stove shelf. The paraffin in the little lamp had burnt out, but Fyodor Nilov still sat at work. He would have long ago dropped it and gone out into the street, but for a customer from Kolokolny Lane whose boots were long overdue. 2 days before Christmas, he'd returned in a rage.
It's been a fortnight. Still no boots, he says. They'd better be ready in time for church on Christmas morning, he says, or I'll have you up before the council. Oh, I might as well be in prison. Some people are snug in their beds, others are out enjoying themselves. Why, I have to sit here slaving away for the devil knows whom. I ask you, why am I forced to sit here and work like a dog while my customers are out enjoying themselves? Because they have money, and I have none. I hate them all. But the one in Kolkolny Lane, worst of the lot. Finish them before the morning service, he says. Oh, may he rot in hell. What's his name? Something German, unpronounceable. I go up to his place to measure his feet, and there he is, sitting on the floor, wearing his blue spectacles, pounding away at something in a mortar. Good morning, sir. I'm here to measure your... I'll be damned if the whole room didn't fill up with a pink smoke, a stink like sulfur and burnt feathers. Ugh! No God-fearing man would fool with stuff like that. That kills it. When you think of the rich, with their big houses and their carriages, their 100-ruble notes. How nice it would be if their houses, the devil take them, were leveled. If their horses fell over and died. If their fur coats were devoured by moths. Oh, how wonderful it'd be if, little by little, the rich turned into beggars. While the poor, say a cobbler like myself, were to become rich instead. Then I'd be the one lording it over some poor shoemaker on Christmas Eve. Huh? What am I doing? The boots are finished, and here I am sitting around. I've got to deliver them to the gentleman.
He wrapped up the boots in a red handkerchief, put on his things, and went out into the street. A fine, hard snow was falling, pricking his face like needles. It was cold, slippery, and dark. The gas lamps were burning dimly, and for some reason the air smelled of paraffin. Rich men were driving to and fro, and every rich man had a ham in one hand and a bottle of vodka in the other. Rich young ladies peeped out at Fyodor from the carriages and stuck out their tongues.
Drunken cobbler.
Not a word. Keep your temper.
Fyodor Pantelich, is it really you?
Who wants to know?
You're looking terrible. All rags and tatters. You don't recognize me? Well, I'm not surprised. It's Kuzma Lebyotkin. We were apprentices together.
Oh.
Pretty you didn't have my luck. I've married a rich woman from Warsaw. I'm a master bootmaker with a shop full of employees. While you're nothing but a beggar. Nothing but a beggar.
Oh, God, what a climb. The top floor. Who'd live in such a place? A mountain goat? Here we are, then. Hello? Look at that. Pounding at his mortar again. What's he up to?
Yeah.
It's only me, Your Honor. I've brought the boots.
Ah, bring them here. I'll try them on.
Oh, they'll fit, Your Honor. I guarantee it. Here, let me help you get the old ones off. A hoof. A hoof. He's got a hoof in place of a foot. So that's who he is. Oh, Mother of God, what do I do now? Cross myself and run away. But hold on. Not so fast. This is the first and probably the last chance I'll get to make a deal with the devil. Maybe I should try my luck. What have I got to lose? People say, Your Honor, that there's nothing on earth more foul and evil than the devil.
Oh.
But it's my opinion that the devil is the educated one. He may have, pardon the expression, hooves and a tail, but he's got more brains than a cartload of college students.
Well, those are kind words, Cobbler. Thank you. And what can I do for you?
Your Honor, I've been wondering lately why some happen to be poor and others rich. Why should I, for instance, live in a hovel while others have big houses and drive around in carriages? Am I any worse a person than, say, Kuzma from Warsaw with his rich wife and those fine clothes? I've got the same nose, the same hands, the same feet, the same head. So why am I forced to work while others sit around enjoying themselves? Why am I married to Maria instead of to some perfumed lady? Maria's good, kind, and hardworking, but she's not educated. She's got a hard fist, and she doesn't exactly smell of roses.
Yes, 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 but what do you want?
Simple. I beg your honor, Satan Ivanovich, to make me a rich man.
Easily done. But you must give me something in exchange. Here, sign this paper.
Your Honor, allow me to point out that when you ordered a pair of boots for me, I didn't ask for money in advance. First, the order is carried out, and then comes the payment.
As you wish.
Flame and smoke flared out from the mortar, a thick pink smoke smelling of burnt feathers and sulfur. And when the smoke had cleared, Fyodor rubbed his eyes in astonishment. He was no longer Fyodor, no longer a cobbler, but a different man entirely, wearing a waistcoat and a watch chain, sitting in an armchair before a grand table. Two uniformed footmen were waiting on him.
Ah, kindly eat, Your Honor.
Bon appetit, Your Grace.
And what is there to eat?
Roast mutton.
Freshly salted pickles.
Roast goose in a frying pan.
Oh, my.
Boiled pork with creamed horseradish.
Very good.
A glass of vodka.
Thank you.
Scrambled eggs with bacon fat.
Another glass of vodka.
No, of course.
Fried calves' livers.
Another glass of vodka.
Oh, my, this is good. It's just lovely. I ate too much. Oh, it's a wonder the gentry don't burst after eating such meals.
Did you enjoy your dinner, Fyodor Pantaleon?
Oh, it tasted good, yes. About these boots I'm wearing.
Yes?
Tell me, who made them?
The master cobbler Kuzma Lebyotkin.
Aha! From Warsaw. Send for the idiot.
Here he is.
You sent for me, Your Honor. I was
Hold
just...
your tongue.
Yes, Your Honor.
Don't answer me back.
But I...
Know your place, you cobbler.
Yes, Your Honor.
Blockhead.
Thank you, sir.
You don't know how to make boots.
But I...
I'll smash your face in. What have you come for?
Well, for my money, Your Honor.
What money?
Well, the money...
Away with you. I'll have my servants beat you to a pulp.
Yes, Your Honor. Thank you, Your Honor.
That's how they used to treat me. Where is my money?
In this wallet. Here, have a look.
10, 20, 30,000. That's not enough.
Then here's a bigger wallet.
50,000, 100,000, still not enough.
Here's another wallet, even bigger.
But no matter how much money the evil one brought him, it was never enough. That evening, the devil presented him with a full-bosomed lady in a red dress.
Well, yes. And who are you?
I'm your new wife. Aren't you going to give me a kiss?
But that night, Fyodor did not have a pleasant time of it. Indeed, he didn't sleep a wink for fear of being robbed.
Are you awake, my dear? You know, we have a great deal of money. And if we aren't very, very careful, thieves will break in and steal it. I'd better go count it, just to be sure.
The next morning was Christmas Day, and Fyodor went to church. He was in a bad temper and felt uneasy.
There's no difference between rich and poor here. When I'm dead, I'll be buried in the same black earth as the poorest beggar. I'll burn in the same fire as the rest. Oh, I can hardly breathe in here. I've got to get out. Oh, that's better. Fresh air. But what about my soul? I've bartered it away for sure. Oh, I'm miserable. What I need is a bit of song, like in the old days.
I'm captain of the horse marine. I feed my horse on corn and beans and often live
Your
beyond.
Honor!
Excuse me, but it's just not done.
Well, what's that, officer? What's not done?
Singing in the streets. You're a gentleman, sir, not some cobbler. And don't go leaning against the fence or you'll ruin that fur coat of yours.
Yes, officer. All right, then, blast it, if I can't sing, I'll go buy a concertina.
Look at him.
And a gentleman, too.
Who does he think my he is? Goodness. A
cobbler? Excuse me, Your Honor.
What is it this time?
It's not proper for a gentleman like yourself to be playing music in the streets. No, why don't you just run along home and behave yourself?
Oh, very well. I'm home, my pet. How about you and me having a little fun?
Oh, how dare you?
Well, it was just a little pat on the...
Peasant, ignorant lout. Don't you dare touch me. You don't know how to behave with ladies. If you love me, you may kiss my hand. But don't you ever slap me there again.
What kind of a life is this? I can't sing, can't play the concertina, can't have a little fun with my wife. Damn it to hell. Oh, it's you.
Indeed.
Who are these others? Friends of yours?
You may think of them as my employees.
Well, what do you want?
Your soul.
But...
I've performed my part of the bargain. Now it's your turn.
No. Help! Help!
Seize him.
You're coming with us.
No!
Jackass!
Jackass! I gave you my order 2 weeks ago, and my boots aren't ready yet. Do you think I enjoy coming here 6 times a day for my boots?
I guess I fell asleep, Your Honor. I'm sorry.
And so you should be. Imbecile.
The boots are almost finished. It'll be just a minute. Excuse me, but if Your Honor doesn't mind my asking, what is your occupation?
Eh? Well, if you must know, I'm a pyrotechnician.
Pyro...
I make fireworks.
Ah. Well, there you are, sir.
And not a minute too soon. Here's your money.
It was Christmas morning. Fyodor closed the shop and set off for church. Carriages and sleighs with bearskin rugs were dashing to and fro in the streets. The sidewalks were thronged with merchants, ladies, officers, and humbler folk. Fyodor joined the crowd, no longer envying anyone or railing against his fate.
It seems we're all badly off, rich and poor alike. Some can ride in carriages. Others can play concertinas. But the same grave waits for us all. And there's nothing in life that's worth giving the devil even a tiny scrap of your soul.
And now, Sleepy, 1888.
Hush, little baby. Don't say a word. Papa's gonna buy you Mockingbird.
Night. Varka, the nursemaid, a girl of 13, is rocking the cradle where the baby lies.
And if that diamond ring turns brass, Papa's gonna buy you a looking glass.
A little green lamp burns before an icon. On a string stretched across the room hang baby clothes and a pair of big black trousers. There's a large patch of green on the ceiling cast by the lamp, and the baby clothes and the trousers throw long shadows on the stove, on the cradle, on Varka. When the lamp flickers, the shadows come to life, set in motion as though by the wind. The room is stuffy. It reeks of cabbage soup and of the inside of a boot shop.
And if that horse and cart turn over, Papa's gonna buy you a dog named Rover.
The baby has been crying for a long time, and there's no telling when he will stop. And Varka is sleepy. She cannot move her eyelids or her lips, and her face feels dry and wooden, as though her head had become as small as the head of a pin.
Everyone's asleep but me. I can hear the master and Afanasy in the next room snoring. I want to sleep. I'm so tired. But they'll beat me if I do. I mustn't fall asleep. Mustn't sleep.
Night. Dark clouds chase each other across the sky. Varka sees a broad, high road covered with mud, and on that road a long line of wagons and people trudging with packs on their backs. Suddenly the people begin falling down on the ground, face down in the liquid mud.
What are you doing? Why?
Hush, little baby. Don't say a word. Papa's gonna buy you a mockingbird.
Oh!
Papa! What's the matter?
Oh, my guts have burst.
Where's Mama?
She's gone. Gone to the master's house. A long time. Should be back soon.
Oh, Mama!
Hush, Vera. It's the doctor.
Light a candle.
Yes, yes, Your Honor. I'll try to find one. Oh, just a minute, sir. Just a minute. There you are.
That's better. That's lucky I was visiting the big house. Oh. You wouldn't have found anyone else this time of night. Now, let's have a look. Have you had this long?
I'm dying, Your Honor. My hour has come.
Don't talk nonsense. We'll fix you up in no time.
As you please, Your Honor. We humbly thank you. Only, we understand.
Yes, yes, yes.
Death
yes.
has to come. That's how it is.
I can't do anything for you here. You must go to the hospital. They will operate on you at once. Go now, do you hear? I know it's late. They'll all be asleep at this hour, but it doesn't matter. I'll give you a note. Do you understand? You must go at once.
But, kind sir, how can he get there? We have no horse.
Don't worry. I'll ask your master to send a horse and cart.
And if that mockingbird don't sing, Papa's gonna buy you a diamond ring.
Mother?
Hush, dear. They worked on him last night. Did what they could. But towards morning he gave up his soul to God. The kingdom of heaven be his, peace everlasting. But he said he came too late. That he should have come sooner.
Oh, no. Papa!
I'll give you something to cry about, you slut! There! The child's crying and you fell asleep. Don't let it happen again.
Hush, little baby. Don't say a word. Papa's gonna buy you a mockingbird. And if that mockingbird don't sing, Papa's gonna buy you. Mama, look at all the people. All asleep. Can't we lie down and sleep too, Mama?
No, little one. We must keep on. Hurry now, hurry. Look, someone's coming. Alms! Oh, give us alms for the sake of our Lord. Show us some mercy, kind sir.
Give me the baby, you wretched girl. You're asleep, aren't you?
No, ma'am.
I don't know why we put up with you. Give me the baby.
Varka stands watching while her mistress nurses and soothes the child. Outside the window, the sky is already turning blue. The shadows in the green patch on the ceiling are growing pale as dawn approaches.
Listen to him, poor thing. What have you done? Cast a spell on him?
Varka takes the baby, puts him in the cradle, and begins rocking it again. The green patch and the shadows disappear, and now there is nothing to force itself on her eyes and cloud her brain. But she's as sleepy as before, terribly sleepy. She lays her head on the edge of the cradle and rocks it with her whole body.
Varka, light the stove!
It's time to get up and set to work. Varka leaves the cradle and runs to the shed for firewood. She's glad. It's easier to stay awake, moving about, than it is sitting down. She brings the wood, heats the stove, and feels that her wooden face is growing supple again, and that her thoughts are becoming clearer.
Varka, set the samovar. And when you're done with that, clean the master's galoshes.
Yes, ma'am.
She sits on the floor, cleaning the galoshes, and thinks how wonderful it would be to put her head into a big, deep galosh and have a little nap in it. All at once, the galosh grows, swells, and fills up the whole room. She drops the brush and shakes her head.
No, stop, it's not real.
Varka, wash the front steps, quickly, before the customers see them.
Varka, peel the potatoes. Don't be so slow. What's wrong with you? Hurry, it's nearly dusk.
Dusk already?
Heat the samovar, Varka.
Yes.
Varka, run and buy me 3 bottles of beer.
Yes.
Run,
yes.
Run!
Some vodka, Varka.
Varka, where's the corkscrew?
Varka, clean the herring.
Varka!
Varka!
Rock the baby!
Rock the baby.
Hush, little baby. Don't you say a word. Papa's gonna buy you a mockingbird. Mama, can't we lie down?
No, little one. We must keep on.
Papa!
Death has to come. That's how it is.
See. Now I understand. Mama? Papa? It's the baby. He won't let me sleep. Let me live. Why didn't I think of it before? So simple. Kill the baby. Kill the baby. And then sleep. Sleep. Sleep.
Having strangled the baby, Varka lies down on the floor. She laughs with delight, for now she can sleep. And in a moment, she is sleeping, as sound as the dead.
This program is a co-production of the Globe Radio Repertory and KUOW-FM, Seattle's national public radio station. Anna Ferris played the part of Varka. Varka's father and the devil were played by John Gilbert. Varka's master and the shoemaker by John Aylward. Varka's mother, Susie Hunt, and Varka's mistress, Christine McMurdo Wallace. Other parts were played by Alan Galley and Jim Monitor. The narrator was Frank Corrado. 16 Stories by Anton Chekhov was adapted for radio by John Sisko and Gene Sherard and directed by Gene Sherard. The music director was Ken Benchoof, sound design by Jim Wilson, audio engineer Sonny Feller, series scholar Simon Karlinski. This program was digitally recorded in conjunction with Lawson Productions at Bad Animals, Seattle.